occasion to use that this morning. We're in our fifth Sunday of our 40 Days of Purpose. Praise the Lord, God has been speaking to many, many people as we keep coming back to the question, why am I here? We want our lives to count. We want our lives to be significant. And we've been finding from God's Word the ways in which God has designed us and His directions for fulfilling the purpose of that design. Now, one of the things we've been doing is we've been talking about some memory verses. And we've gone over some verses in the Sunday morning services. And I know that there's a great host of people that have got all those memory verses right there. Question is, can you get them to hear? All right? In our first week, we were talking about why on earth am I here? And we saw some Bible verses that, memory verse that talked about that. And I wonder who has memorized that and could say it for the congregation this morning. Do we have a volunteer? It was from Ephesians, if that helps you. I think it was, we are God's workmanship. Oh, a volunteer? Don't cheat. Here, we got one here. All right. Brother Jim.
I'm terrible at this, but I'm going to give it my best.
Wait, we need someone to start us off.
I'm glad the children are gone downstairs because some of them are in my Awana class.
All right.
I better do this right.
Okay.
Ephesians 2 and 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand for us to do.
That's right. Very good. Very good. All right.
I'll do another one.
All right. We may come back to you. Now, moving on to the first week, the first purpose. That was in our second week. We talked about worship, and you see the theme words up there in those wonderful banners. And there was a Bible verse that talked about we were created for God's pleasure. He created us so that He could enjoy us. And when we're living in a way that God enjoys, we call that worship. And we had a Bible verse that went along with that. It's the first of the two great commandments. Oh man, I gave it away there. Who can say that? Here we have, the volunteers are close by.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.
Very good. Very good. All right, there's the second one. So God has a purpose for each one of us to fulfill. Part one is a close relationship with God. Part two is to have a meaningful and close relationship with other Christians. And that's called fellowship. We form God's household. We're God's family. There's more households out there, but we're a household of God, a family of God. And we have a memory verse for that fellowship. So that comes from Romans 12:5. Do we have a volunteer to say that one? So we who are you volunteering? Jim, did I see that finger? Is this like an auction? Oh, he scratched his nose. I can see this, all right? Oh, I like. We need that so that it goes on record because this is a videotape. Actually, did you know, Jim, that anyone who's on the internet can see you right now and can hear you? Millions of people have access to what's happening right now on streaming video.
So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others.
Right on. Excellent. All right. This is doing good. We're memorizing this. See, all you have to do is arrange it so one person remembers one, and we look good as a congregation. last week, we got to the third segment of finding our purpose under God, and we discovered that to have a fulfilled life here on earth, God designed us to grow up in our character to be like Jesus Christ. And that's called discipleship. And there's a memory verse to help us focus on that. Philippians 2:5. Oh, we got one way over here. I'm impressed. This is doing very well. You picked the shortest one, though, Dave.
For our attitude should be that of Christ Jesus.
There it is. All right. Way to go. You remembered all that. Excellent. Now, today we're going to be looking at the fourth segment of the purpose-filled life. And so we want to go back briefly to our first memory verse. And this is just such an important anchor for what we are thinking about. Let's look at this from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Let's read it together. We've already heard it, but let's read it again. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Very clearly, God's word is saying to you that you were shaped for service. You are a product of God's workmanship. Have you ever thought of yourself that way? You're a product of God's workmanship. Somebody was a craftsman that built this pulpit, and we would recommend this carpenter. Now, you're a product of God's workmanship. Would your life recommend God? Well, he created us. In Job 10, verse 8, it says, your hands shaped me and made me. So from these verses, we see that God crafted you for a purpose. What purpose was it in Ephesians 2:10? To do good works. What good works are you to do, you ask? Well, the ones that God has prepared in advance for you. See, God knows you that well and has a purpose and a plan for your life. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. So clearly, our fourth purpose is to serve God by serving others. There's a place to write that in on your note sheet. Our fourth purpose is to serve God by serving others. Your talents are not for your own benefit. God made you unique, and he made you that way for the sake of other people. And as long as you keep focused on yourself rather than serving others, you will not be fulfilled. So often people head out on a search for fulfillment instead of a search for who they can serve, and they still end up frustrated after all that searching for fulfillment. The Bible has a word for this, and it's ministry. Now, like these other key words that are on those banners on the back wall, this word is usually misunderstood. In the Bible, service and ministry are the same word. And it says that every believer is a minister. Anytime you use your gifting or abilities or talents to help someone, you are ministering. It's not just when you're praying for someone. It's serving. It includes praying for someone, but it's so much wider than that. So all of us are called into the ministry. Not everyone's called to be a pastor. Oh, isn't that fortunate? But everyone is called into the ministry. If you have salvation, you have a call to ministry. Now, very important this morning, not everyone ministers in the same way. And if you go away with nothing else today, I trust that you'll get this. And understand, under God, God has a unique plan for you. Let me emphasize that each of us have a unique shape for ministry. Now that word shape can help us realize that God truly leads us individually in the serving that we do. Rick Warren has developed an acrostic that's helpful on this. Each letter of the word shape stands for an ingredient of how God crafts you to carry out special serving. You'll see on your note sheet that shape is spelt down from top to bottom. There's a place to write in beside each letter, and I would encourage you to do that so that you can remember this outline that the word shape gives to us. The S stands for spiritual gifts. We believe from the Bible that every Christian is given an area of service in which they impact others spiritually. What did God say to us in 1 Peter 4:10? Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. So as you grow in ministry, you need to identify your gift or gifts given to you by the Spirit of God. H stands for heart. Your heart passion helps you know how and where to serve. I think a simple way to see this is with missionaries. You may have two people called to be missionaries, gifted with cross-cultural evangelism, but one has a heart for Russia, the other has a heart for Brazil. And God leads them by that into their place of ministry where they can be fulfilled. So here in Markham, there may be two of you this morning that have the gift of encouragement. One has a heart for seniors, the other has a heart for youth. You need to find your heart passion and serve in that area combined with the spiritual gift. Now, we're just two letters into finding our shape. A stands for abilities. Again, two people with the same gifting. One may have ability in public speaking, the other has ability with computers. Both can be used to serve God with passion, with the spiritual gifts, in their areas of ability. P stands for personality. Did you know that there are four major personality types? They're called temperaments. How many are familiar with this? You've heard it, you've studied it. Some of you have found out what your temperament is. There's great Christian leaders who have written books about this, and they use words that are strange to me. I've never kind of got around these. Choleric, phlegmatic, sanguine, and melancholy. Those words just don't do anything for me. But you're one of those. All right? I'm one of them. But I like using the animal comparisons to remember them. And these I can remember. Now remember, you're one of the following animals rather than the other three. And the animals that they use to illustrate these different four temperaments are a lion, a beaver, an otter, and a golden retriever. Which animal would you like to be? Well, you're already one of them in your temperament, in the way you function. Now, just think about it. God doesn't expect a lion to build a beaver dam. That would just seem kind of silly if you saw that happening. So God has crafted you to be effective and fulfilled in a service that suits your personality. That's a very important ingredient in finding your shape. And then E stands for experiences. You come, dear friend, you come with a unique set of experiences that no one else in the whole world can match. Often those experiences have not been of your own choosing. Some of them are negative. Some of them are positive. But they are all an important part of your overall shape that God has been at work crafting according to His design. And now those experiences are intended to help someone else. Friend, Jesus has a calling for you in your unique shape. Remember? One of our memory verses said, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. And our scripture reading today from Matthew 20 told us Jesus' attitude towards ministry. Did you pick that up in the scripture reading? What was His attitude? The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Is that your attitude? It's not about me. It's about how I can serve others if we are going to find our purpose, our fulfillment in life, according to God's design. In his book called The Good Life, Chuck Colson tells of an experience that he had went through that illustrates, I think, just so very well how a person ministers out of this combination of qualities that makes up one's shape. While traveling in the Philippines in his prison fellowship ministry that he founded, he became ill. He was diagnosed with internal bleeding. And against the advice of doctors in the Philippines, he traveled home and then was immediately hospitalized. But what he discovered was that there was a disagreement among doctors about his diagnosis. Doesn't that just make you full of confidence when you got doctors arguing about your diagnosis? Well, they started out with the diagnosis of a bleeding ulcer. Then another doctor said, no, it looks like a stomach tumor. It's probably benign. And then another doctor said, no, it's a cancerous tumor that has involved a large area of the stomach. Some thought minor surgery and a few days of recovery time would solve it. The surgeon, who, as Chuck Colson thought back about it, really came across quite arrogant, was sure that major surgery was required. Well, the major surgery was done, including a training exercise for a number of interns. They all had their hands in this process. Part of the stomach and surrounding lymph nodes were removed. Huge complications. Major infections set in with a great deal of pain. The wound had to be kept open because of draining and healing from the outside in and all this kind of stuff. Recovery took weeks instead of days. During those weeks, it was determined that, in fact, there was no cancer at all. the major surgery had not been needed. How does God have a purpose in something like that? Maybe you've experienced something like that. Well, we won't always learn the purpose God has in it in the same way that Chuck Colson did in his situation. It turned out that towards the end of this extended recovery time, while he was still in hospital, he overheard a conversation that let him know that a good friend of his from government days was on the next floor up in this hospital. He discovered it really quite by accident, but he learned that his friend was in fact dying. The man was surrounded by layers of security, lots of Secret Service agents. It turns out that the man was Bill Casey, the former director of the CIA in the United States. Through a message to Bill's wife, Colson and his wife were cleared through all the security. And with his wife wheeling his IV pole, the Colsons went to the Casey's room. And during that visit, Chuck Colson led Bill Casey to Christ within days of his death. Now, Colson points out that the perfectly timed meeting to pray with his friend, the very fact that he was there at all, started with an illness in the Philippines. That it took a wrong diagnosis, a bad decision by a surgeon, including unnecessary and painful surgery with a long recovery, to keep him in the hospital long enough to hear of the man's presence in his dire illness. It included all of his past experiences, Watergate and spending time in jail, coming to Christ, all of that stirred a passion for others who are dying without Christ in the heart of Chuck Colson and led to that man's conversion. Your obedience to Christ's call to serve may never be that dramatic, but your ministry is just as important in God's eyes, and he calls you to embrace this fourth purpose today. It's always a thrill when we realize that we have been used by God to touch someone else's life. Well, what does it take to be used and to learn to serve like Jesus? There are three things that I want to point out this morning, and there's a place to fill these in on your outline. First of all, serving like Jesus means being available. Available is the first one. In the passage we read this morning in Matthew 20, the very next story after that is about two blind men that called out to Jesus. They were sitting on the side of the road and a big crowd was traveling with Jesus, and these men kept calling to Jesus. People in the crowd told them to quieten down. This was an important person. But the Bible says Jesus stopped. He cared for them and healed them. Friends, over and over, Jesus' miracles happened when he was interrupted. So often, fine Christian people have these feelings that they would like to be used by God, but they don't keep themselves available. They don't make themselves available. What is it that often keeps us from being available? Barrier number one is self-centeredness. Hey, I've got my plans. I've got my agenda, my goals, my dreams. Aren't they important? When I'm with people, yeah, I talk about my plans and my projects and my family. But you know what you're doing when you focus on yourself so much? You're just hanging a big do not disturb sign in front of you. And people don't even attempt to open up with us. Philippians chapter 2 verse 4 says, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Busyness about our own interests is the great number one enemy to ministry. Barrier number two is perfectionism. You say, oh, I'm far from having perfectionism. Well, sometimes it comes out with, I'll serve when I get more organized. When the house is in better condition, I'll have somebody in. When I've learned more about the Bible, then I'll be able to talk to people about Jesus Christ. When things settle down, a paraphrase of Ecclesiastes 11 verse 4 says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. Isn't that the truth? Barrier number three is materialism. This has to do with priorities in your life. Luke 16 verse 13 says, no servant can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. Just notice the word cannot. Jesus didn't say you shouldn't. Cannot serve two masters. To serve like Jesus, you've got to decide whether you want to be rich or you want to be blessed. when you get so busy taking care of things and you can't have time for people, often including your own family. When you become a believer, you need to decide whether you'll be a kingdom builder, God's kingdom, or a wealth builder. Now, friends, if God gifts you with wealth along with your care for people, that's absolutely wonderful. But it's not the number one goal in a life that finds fulfillment in serving Jesus Christ. Well, secondly, serving like Jesus means being grateful. Serving like Jesus means being grateful. Do you remember when Jesus' good friend Lazarus died? Jesus was a ways away. And he didn't get to the family home until Lazarus had been buried for several days. Martha and Mary, Lazarus' sisters, scolded Jesus for not coming sooner. In the midst of this grief and tension in the relationship and going to the graveside, Jesus started his prayer with these words, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Father, I thank you that you have heard me." Jesus carried this attitude of gratefulness into everything he did. Psalm 100 verse 2 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness." When you remember that you have received the greatest gift of all possible gifts from God, there is nothing in all of existence that can negatively outweigh the gift of salvation. And a Christian who understands this wonderful gift of eternal life that has come into our lives can always be thankful, whatever the circumstances. Well, what gets in the way of serving with gratefulness? Barrier number one is comparing and criticizing. Comparing and criticizing. I remember when the Lord kind of figuratively smacked me on the side of the head for this lesson. I was a pastor. I was in a service where there was a guest preacher, evangelist, who was held in high regard. But I sat there during this particular service analyzing his sermon, comparing it to how I would handle the topic, being very critical of his lack of organization, his poor choice of words, his scattered thoughts. Oh, I had my list as I listened to that sermon. My critical attitude grew as the sermon went on. And I sat there thinking, what a disaster. Nobody's going to hear from God in the midst of this. And then he invited people to come forward to accept Christ. I was stunned. People responded. People had heard the voice of God in the midst of when I had shut all of that down with a critical attitude within my own life. They were moved powerfully by that sermon. Several people accepted Christ that night. What a lesson for me. Romans 14 verse 4 says, "Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand." In other words, who are you to criticize other servants of the Lord? The Lord will determine whether his servant has been successful or not. Oh, brothers and sisters, family of God this morning, I ache over the amount of hurt I've watched in people's lives because of a critical comment by another Christian. It is contrary to Christ. It should not exist in the family of God when the Bible so powerfully teaches against it. And yet criticism keeps rearing its ugly head. I never say that we all have to agree, but we can disagree agreeably. We can offer suggestions and solutions without chopping down. I've seen a careless criticism turn people away from serving in the church, even away from following Christ. I've watched people struggle on under great burden because others have chosen to be self-centered and to complain. I pray that the next time critical words form in your mind, that the Holy Spirit puts his hand over your mouth, and that we'll check that by allowing God the Holy Spirit to be in charge of our lives. I pray to God that Markham Missionary Church will grow to be an environment where people will feel safe to try out their spiritual gifts. Nobody's perfect when they start. Everybody has to grow. But I pray that people will understand that Markham Missionary Church has become a criticism-free zone, and that we can celebrate that. Barrier number two is serving with gratefulness. The barrier to serving with gratefulness is wrong motivations. Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Be careful, Jesus said, not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by men. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. In other words, self-promotion and servanthood don't mix. It's easy to get them mixed up, but they don't mix. Let's be honest. A lot of our service can be to get others to like us, to get that pat on the back. We serve to be admired. It can be a bargaining chip with God. Okay, God, I'm serving you over here. Take care of things over here. If you lose your sense of gratitude about serving, it's time for a motivation checkup. Thirdly, serving like Jesus also means being faithful. Jesus pressed through all obstacles to do all that the Heavenly Father asked him to do. And he was able to pray in John 17, verse 4, where Jesus says to his Father, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Jesus was faithful in serving in what he was given to do. To find real purpose in life, you will remain faithful in what God gives you to do. You may retire from your job, but you never retire from serving Jesus. 1 Corinthians 4, 2 says, now it is required of those that have been given a trust must prove faithful. You've been given the secrets of eternal life. It's a trust. And we help one another pass those secrets along by how we are faithful in ministry. The wonderful thing that keeps us faithful is that whatever it is that God gives us to do, big or small, it's never lost in God's sight and in God's purposes. It always builds into whatever else other servants are doing according to God's great plan. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 has these words, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Years ago, two teenage boys tried to come into a church service at night. It was crowded out. They couldn't find seats and they turned to leave. But one usher said, come on guys, I'll find you a seat. And he took them down to the center middle section where, as a good usher, he had been retaining in his mind where there were available seats, even though it was crowded. And that night, both of those boys accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. One of them turned out to be Billy Graham, who has been used to reach millions of people around the world. If the usher hadn't been faithful, the sermon would never have had an opportunity to touch them. Do you think that usher is getting some credit in heaven, in God's evaluation? Let me finish this part with Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Friends, take that verse with you. God knows you. He knows your service, whether anyone else ever learns about it or not, and he will reward. Now, my final sermon illustration this morning is all set up down in the gym. My illustration includes displays, it includes coffee and tea, and Timbits. How's that for a sermon illustration? We're calling it a ministry fair this morning, and this is a time of celebrating the ministry that's going on in the life of the church. We want all of you to become more aware of the many different ministries in Markham Missionary Church. It was a great experience for me when last January, as Karen and I came to this church, we just kept discovering more and more and more ministries that were being carried on in Markham Missionary Church. And I want you this morning to encourage those who are working in those various ministries. So this is a two-way thing this morning. Let's remember that. There are some ministries that as you learn about them, in the future you may want to be part of that ministry. And so you can talk to representatives. Most of the ministries will have representatives there. So get your fair card out. Make sure that you have that. There will be reps at each table, and you get that initial. And that will have some influence on whether or not you get a prize 2 weeks from today. Now, whether you get everything initialed or not, put it in the basket as you leave. You have a chance, I was told. All right? So we want to help you find your purpose in serving. If your shape doesn't fit any of these ministries that you see this morning, I'd be glad to talk to you. I know the elders would be glad to talk to you. Help you find God's answer for your shape and how you can serve. So at this point, those who are in charge of a table are excused from this service, Some of them have been slipping out along the way. The rest are excused to go now and get ready for the great crowds that are going to come and visit your table. Now, to help us get down there in an orderly way, all right, we want to do things decently and in order. We have four very special ministers coming to lead a section of people each. All right? Now, from... It's an invasion. From the Christmas Cantata ministry, number one is a Roman soldier who happens to be Ronald Scott. Hold your applause, please. From the technical ministries, a techie, Peter Mitchell. And he's standing down there, but he's going to lead this section down. And from the choir ministry, a singer. Isn't that interesting? From the choir, a singer. Florence Scott, and you might be able to identify her from her outfit, and she's going to lead this section down. And then, finally, but not least of all, from the property and maintenance ministry, a painter, Eric Pilkey. And by the way, he's on a campaign that the whole church will get painted in this next year. It's a year-long project, so you might want to sign up for that and be involved. He is going to lead that section down. Now, when we give the word, please follow these people. Don't dawdle. Fellowship doesn't take place until you get downstairs with Timbits. All right? That's when fellowship starts taking place. And children, when you claim your children, which is recommended, there is a children's corner where they can have some fun this morning as well. Now, also, please be aware that the elevator is available, will be manned. If it's taking someone else down, it'll be back up in a few moments to help you with that. And the elevator is in that hallway out there, if you can follow that direction. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to start off with the two outside sections. Please exit with them like a wedding, the front row first and then back as they go, and move right down to the gymnasium. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you that you call us to have great joy in living for Jesus Christ. Thank you that you give us ministry. You call us to ministry. You've prepared ministry in advance for each of us to do. And Father, may we sign up with you according to our shape. And if that means one of these ministries we'll see this morning, Lord, stir our hearts to respond and to be involved in the ministry of Markham Missionary Church. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for these dear people. Thank you that they love you. And Lord, may you strengthen us as the family of God to great exploits for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed when you're finished the fellowship down there. So that section and that section, please start out now. This section is going to go out those doors, and there's a stairway back in that foyer. So please follow Florence. We're going to hold this section just for a moment, and then we'll start down as Peter disconnects himself, and that'll just save a little bit of congestion. We're going to sing. Nicole's going to lead us.